This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. Welcome. We're the radio show that finds a little bit of homo in every film. And thanks to Pete Dillon from Cravings for another great show. Good luck. We just stop saying it. I'm just hungry again. It's ridiculous. I just want to eat.
What's your name?
My name is Paul Tonto.
What's my name?
Yeah, what is your name?
My name is Kylie Eddie.
So there we go. I've been off for a week and I'm just rusty. It's all about the rust. I just like it. Just
we've got the team back together.
We have.
The band's back together.
Yay.
So
Alan's back from China. I'm back from the peninsula. You know, it's all happening.
I'm still here just been slaving away per usual. Oh, there comes out the tiniest violin in the world. So what are we talking about today, Paul?
We're talking, it's another week at another film festival. In fact, two. We're talking about the Spanish Film Festival and also the Human Rights, Arts and Film Festival. Plus, we're going commercial with a little bit of Robert Pattinson and Reese Witherspoon in Water for Elephants.
You know what? We've decided to combine as well those elements because we have a special giveaway. Thanks to CG Publicity, there is a double pass to see any film of your choice in the Spanish Film Festival. It's playing at the Como. But as per usual, you have to work for it. So I don't know if you're aware, but today is Robert Pattinson's birthday.
It's a special day.
He turns 25.
Wow.
So it's a special birthday. So in order to go in the draw to win this prize, we would like your answers to what would you like to give Robert Pattinson for his 25th birthday?
Because he probably doesn't have much. He probably won't have many people giving him gifts.
Well, maybe so. It could be a present that money can't buy. Keep it clean. I'm just saying. What would you like to?
If money can't buy, I think you need some sun, basically. Yeah, I'd give him some time in the sun without any fans around him so he can. He looks a bit pale, the poor dear.
Yeah, well, maybe. Oh, you know what? Maybe we could get him an island.
Yes.
A tropical island.
There we go.
With no fans, but plenty of lovely sunshine.
Maybe where Prince William and Kate are, you know, holidaying. He can, you know. They can go off and he can come over there.
Sounds good. So what would you like to give Robert Pattinson for his 25th birthday? And you can go in the draw to win this double pass to the Spanish Film Festival. All you have to do is SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au or you can Facebook us. Just search for Pink Popcorn.
Okay, first up, we'll be listening to Endless Sunset by DeLorean. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
Well, it's another week in Melbourne and it's another film festival.
We love our film festivals.
This is the Spanish Film Festival. There was a La Mirada Film Festival on about a month ago, which very similar. They both deal with Spanish language films, sort of films from Spain and also the mostly South America, Latin America and what have you. The Spanish Film Festival is quite a large one because it predominantly has Spanish films. But there's about 10 or 12 from, you know, Colombia and Mexico and other...
Colombia.
Love it.
Is that your Spanish
Colombia.
Accent?
No, it's terrible. I wasn't even trying an accent. I just don't know what I was doing there. But the one... There are actually a number of queer films with queer themes in the festival. And one of them, which I saw, is 18 Meals, which is very similar to kind of like a Love Actually Perry Jatim situation. It's all set over one day. As you can probably tell, there are 18 meals in the film.
What? 18 meals in one day?
Oh, no, it's crazy.
That sounds like my kind of place.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's
there.
Just, it's mouthwatering. And so you basically, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and it's a whole lot of just different scenarios.
And what are all the other meals?
Oh, my God. No. The thing is basically, say, for breakfast is about four stories, four different lots of, you know, scenarios.
I get you.
And it's like cut in between them. And a number of the characters go from, there's a number of them especially who do go from, you know, from, they appear in one of the breakfast ones, one of the lunch ones, and one of the dinner ones. It's his whole sort of, you know, one of those, like I said, Love Actually, where, you know, you really just, you're in and out of these scenarios and these little scenes and the editing in between. The one queer, there's really one queer storyline in there. It's a lunchtime, basically. You've got this man called Victor. He lives with his partner, Sergio. Victor is a school teacher. Sergio is a hairdresser.
No stereotyping there.
No, exactly. And Victor's brother, who lives out of town, he's come to visit.
But does he know?
No, he doesn't. Victor's not out to any of his family.
Dear.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. There are
going
to be tears, aren't there? There are going to be tears. And, of course, you know, this is Spain, a lot of machismo, you know. So, you know, we sort of, you know, I don't really want to say what's going to happen, but we all know what's going to happen.
It.
We don't spoil it. But that's a very good storyline. Like, it's actually quite interesting. And in that story as well, there's a character who the brother meets. That's one of the lunchtime stories. In a breakfast story, the brother is in the breakfast story and he meets a waitress and he brings the waitress to the lunch. And so you get this really interesting dynamic. You've got this couple who are, you know, pretending not to be a couple, and then the brother, you know, he sort of suspects something's going on, and then you've got this complete stranger. There is woman, female. So it's this nice little sort of scenario.
I'm so hungry right now.
I'm ready for croissants
or something. Are there any croissants in there, even though?
No,
what do they have for breakfast in Spain?
They actually
have food.
There was a lot of. There was actually. the food, it's funny. There wasn't a huge party. It's sort of really the setting. There wasn't a lot. It wasn't food porn, this film.
Really?
No.
That's disappointing.
It was very disappointing. There was a lot of, you know, ham. There was a few bits
ham.
At the start. A lot of, you know, the prosciutto and what have
oh,
you.
Oh, I see. Okay. I thought you meant the acting.
No.
Got a bit hammy.
Bit of hammy. it's quite a good film. I mean, you know, it's a type of film where, you know, if you do like, I like these types of films, All Set Over One Day, you know, different lots of characters. Also, it stars one of my, if not my favorite, Spanish actor, Luis Tosa, who is incredibly handsome. And he's actually,
Alan's blushing, or
I'm blushing.
Paul's blushing.
No, I'm blushing because I'm just, my memory. No, and Luis Tosa is also in, he's basically Spain's, apart from Javier Bardem, he's Spain's most famous actor. He's won the Goyas, which are the Spanish Oscars, twice more. He's a superstar, and he's just incredibly sexy. The other three films that are queer themed, one is called Anything You Want, which the director actually is in town at the moment for that. So, you know,
he's doing
along.
A Q&A.
He actually did one last night.
Oh, yeah, we're a bit behind the times.
We're behind that. But apparently it's a great film. But he plays... he's married, has a small child. His wife passes away, and the 4-year-old, their 4-year-old daughter, really can't cope. So he basically dresses up as his wife. So he sort of has to play both the mother and the father.
Mm.
So it's quite an interesting little film. The other one, Black Bread, which we have talked about for the La Mirada Film Festival, which is a post Civil War, sort of set during the Civil War, which is a recommend film. But the one that I really want to see, and I'm quite excited about because it's queer to its core, it's called 480 Days.
I know, this looks fantastic.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's basically about two women who knew each other in school, you know, kind of just a platonic friendship, but, you know, I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't, you know, exactly go into the details, but who knows if anything happened. They kind of went their separate ways. One of the women got married. The other one became, an out lesbian, and they meet up. 50.
This is sounding like another film that I know.
Yeah, 50 years later. So, yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it. It was screened last night. So if anybody saw it, let us know. But it's on next Friday night as well. It's got one more screening. So that's actually the one I'm looking forward to the most. I think the one that's, really...
You know, it's got a queer theme at the core of the story,
yeah,
rather than just peripheral characters.
Yeah, and again, it's very, you know, there aren't many films, especially with, you know, lesbian characters and older lesbian characters as well. So
they are few and far between. Mm, that is, even in the queer cinema,
absolutely
in queer film festivals, are very rare.
I think I'm thinking of, you know, Edie and Thea, the documentary.
Yes.
That was, you know, one of my
and
favorite
everyone
films.
Loved it because it's so great to get a glimpse into that world. Because I kind of do know. Let's not get into why lesbian films are not made. But it's fantastic that this is part of the Spanish Film Festival. The festival started on Thursday night, but it runs right through until next weekend, the 22nd of May.
Yep.
So you've got plenty of time to go out and embrace some Spanish language cinema.
Yeah, and the website's SpanishFilmFestival.com. And I just want to quickly mention, there's three other films in here that are outstanding. They're not queer themed, but they're just flat out phenomenal. One is called Cell 211. The other one is called Nostalgia for the Light, and the other one is called October. So, you know, just check out the website. There are so many fantastic films in the festival, so, you know, it's a ripper.
We'll also put that up on our Facebook page, Pink Popcorn. So if you're interested, you can just go straight there to check it out.
All right, coming up on the show, we'll be talking about the Human Rights Arts and Film Festival. Up next is Water for Elephants. This is The Comeback by Shout Out Louds. You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
A veterinary student from the wrong side of the tracks, called Jacob, meets and falls in love with Marlena, a star performer in the circus of a bygone era. They discover beauty amidst the world of the big top and come together through their compassion for a very special elephant.
Who's the woman who works with the horses?
That's the boss's wife. She don't talk to nobody, and you don't talk to her.
Any living creature needs to know who's in charge. They can sense when a man's power is full strength, when a man's power is not.
Around here, everybody works till they run into the ground. Nobody stops until August says so.
You're a beautiful woman. You deserve a beautiful life.
I'm a star, George. Out there, I got nothing.
There's a better kind of life that's meant for you.
You should go.
Anyone as much as touched her. To think of it.
Well, we leave it on a very ominous tone there.
That heartbeat.
That is Water for Elephants. I don't think I said the title in my little synopsis
water
there.
Water for Elephants.
Water for
what
Elephants.
What does it actually mean?
Well, actually, it's kind of like this joke in the first part of the film where, so obviously the character is played by Robert Pattinson. He is a veterinary student and they make a joke about him. He can be the water boy for the elephants, but they don't have any elephants. Oh, it's hilarious. But then they do get an elephant, so it all works out okay. This is actually, it feels like a film from another time. I really loved this film. I did get swept away. Look, I will say at the beginning, it has a rather clunky beginning and ending. It's kind of a, you know, it's one of those things where they have in the modern time. It's a bit of a bookend.
Yes.
So they start with in the present day, and there's an old digger who's going along to the circus, and they're like, get out of the way, old fella. And he's like, but I know about the circus life. And they go, oh, really? Tell us all about it, Grandpa Circus Man. And he goes, and off we go.
We put the Vaseline in the lens, and we fade back in time.
That's right. So that is really naff, and I don't know why you need that, but I guess it, you know, provides some kind of context.
Yeah.
Once we actually get away from that, it's only a few minutes, and we start into the story. It's set in the era of the Depression in America. It's in the 1930s. And this young man, a young vet student, played by Rob Pattinson, he loses everything. He loses his family, his house, and he goes on the road and gets swept up into this world of circus life. They obviously have a need for it, because what I will say about this film, the parts that made me cry were the cruelty to animals. They do kind of depict what it was like in that time. I mean, here we've got, you know, and I've got to say, the cruelty to humans is also pretty horrible.
Yeah.
There's also some quite, you know, horrible scenes about quite cruel things that people do to each other. But of course, you know, the men and women don't have enough to eat, let alone
the
animals, lions.
The feeding animals, yes.
And
well, that's when they get, you know, they get a bit povo, just throw some of the Christians to the lions. Isn't what happens?
Well, they didn't
hang in a minute. It's a few thousand years before that, sorry.
Yeah, hey,
this is a love story at its core, yeah?
Yeah, look, it's a melodrama, and it's a love triangle between you. So actually, when I said the synopsis, it makes it sound quite romantic, but it is actually adultery, because Marlena, who's played by Reese Witherspoon, who can do no wrong in my eyes, she's luminous. I know you don't like her for a weird reason.
No, I quite like her.
She had a square jaw.
Well, she's got a big jaw. She's just odd looking. But she was in that film, the James L. Brooks film, that was a bit Soho.
The film that I cannot remember the name of, because what's
Life
the,
is, I don't know what
anything
it's
that we can call or whatever. I don't know the stupid name.
Film. But she's good in this.
She is a fantastic
playing a Southern belle.
amazing. And also the star. She's the star performer in the circus. And she has all these fantastic scenes with beautiful horses and, of course, the elephant, when they get the elephant. And it is absolutely – the circus scenes – are fantastic. So she is married to the owner of the circus, who is, you know,
Christoph Waltz.
Oh, Waltz. He plays evil so subtly and so beautiful. There's no mustache twirling here, which it could have easily gone down that path, particularly since he's in a top hat and a ring person suit.
One of my favourite things in this is a sidebar. He won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for Inglourious Basterds last year.
Yeah.
One of my favourite things about Hollywood is that they get these, you know, he's Austrian or German.
Austrian.
And, you know, they come into Hollywood and all of a sudden, get that guy, he's great. You know, and he just plays, you know, these kind of baddies. And, you know, like, it's the prestige. You know, he's won the Oscar, so let's just, you know, up there. I love it. He's probably going to be in some big superhero film this summer.
He's already been in a superhero
really?
Film.
Really? Was he?
Yeah, he was in The Green Hornet.
Oh,
He played the baddie, evil guy. You were so ahead of the time.
I love
it. He was fantastic. He plays a very cold-hearted kind of, I can kill you with one look.
Yeah.
From my. And look, he's got a little bit more to do in this film, because it is actually, they do try and make it a little bit more grey.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a terribly bad person, he's in a bad situation, but he has got this evil streak, and obviously some of the cruelty to animals is really hard to take, let alone what he puts his wife through. So,
but the biggest question is, are pets? How does he shape up?
You know what? He's got a bit of a tan, so he's
really
not looking so vampiric. He's like, I wouldn't say he's
because he's
tanned.
In the Twilight Saga, of course, in case anybody doesn't know. But
yeah. Is there anyone left on the planet who doesn't
have you
know?
Seen those films, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't, so I don't. I have no concept. I've only seen him in that queer film, the Into the Dali. You know,
don't base that
on
any kind of comparison.
Yep.
So I think that he does a pretty good job here. He is very much the brooding, silent type, and he plays that very well.
Mm.
I'm not quite yet convinced of his range, because in his other film that he did outside of the Twilight series was Remember Me, which was kind of like...
forgettable, ironically.
A non-vampire version of the same character in Twilight. So he's quite good at, you know, mumbling and looking sad.
He's got... In 10 years' time, we won't know who he is.
I'm not sure, though. I think if he keeps these films up, he might at least have a chance.
Yeah.
But there was some chemistry there. And for me, the thing that I liked about this film is I feel like it delivered on its promise.
Yeah, yep.
It is fantastic storytelling. The set pieces are amazing. It really creates the era, and it just is a very entertaining, engaging, fantastic piece of old-time cinema.
Yeah, well,
it's like films they used to make, which, you know, films that like my mum and I could go and see together and both enjoy. Gee, that sounds like I'm a total nana. Anyway.
And the director of the previous films, I Am Legend and Constantine, which are both big-budget action-type films, plus also Britney Spears' video for I Am a Slave for You. So
that's the gay content.
Absolutely. So there we go. That's a queer content.
Yeah, there's no other queer content in there apart from
gay elephant. No. Right.
Well, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm giving it 4 out of 5.
My golly.
I really enjoyed it. As a cinema experience, I really enjoyed it.
My golly. Oh, well, there you go. And it's in cinemas now
everywhere.
Absolutely everywhere. So you can't miss Arpats and Reese doing their thing. Up next, we'll be talking about the Human Rights Arts and Film Festival. This is Life Goes On by Noah and the Whale. You're on Joy 94.9, Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9, and that was Like What from Tim and John.
They're fantastic. Oh, I love them
so much.
Oh, are they your new besties?
They are my
besties?
New favourites. Oh, amazing. Young Australian band. Fantastic.
Oh, it's so great.
So up now, well, it's another week. As we talked about before, it's another film festival. So we actually got two film festivals on exactly the same time in Melbourne. Talked about the Spanish Film Festival earlier. Now it's the Human Rights and Arts and Film Festival.
Yeah, so this started on the 12th as well and goes right through to the 22nd, same time. We are spoilt for choice in this town. We're so lucky to have so many fantastic films to go and see. The Human Rights, Arts and Film Festival, obviously they've... you know, made it larger to incorporate the arts as well. We're just really going to be focusing on the film festival part of it, funny enough. Normally they do have quite a large section of films that have queer content, because obviously if you're listening to this radio station, I can safely assume that you also see GLBTIQ rights as human rights. But this year, there's kind of slim pickings.
Yeah, not so much.
There's not so much. Look, there are a couple of fantastic short film programs. One is the International Shorts, and in that, there is a film called Change. It's an American film, and it is set on the same night that it's a part of the presidential elections in America, and Obama is being elected president, and also Proposition 8 is going to the vote in California. Mm. And this film is... It's a, you know, it's a 20-minute short film, and it's shot cinema verite. It's, at first I thought it was a documentary. It is really well constructed, and the lead guy, a black young teen, he's fantastic. And basically, he is he's not out. He's gay, and he's kind of struggling to come to terms with his crew of mates who obviously are homophobic, and they're actually bullying one of the gay teens at their school. And it kind of, what I do like about it is that it uses how discrimination against black people is also, well, we're also forgetting about gays as well.
Yep.
So it's in set in this, you know, black enclave, and all of them are so excited because Obama is voted, and, you know, blacks haven't been recognized, and it's time for it to stop, and this is a fantastic change for the future. And at the same time, gay rights are being trampled all over. Yes. And so he has these really conflicting feelings about, you know, I'm so excited to be a black American, but at the same time, I'm gay, and I feel like that part of me is not being recognized. It's a really fantastic dramatization of these conflicts. And this is one of those films that I think is great for a straight audience.
Right.
I don't want to sound patronizing, but I think in a queer film festival, it would be like, we get it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I mean, we get it. We know. We know that we're discriminated against.
Yes.
And it's a human rights issue. But I think this is great for maybe a straight audience who goes, I make the connection.
Yes, yes.
Gays are humans as well. And like black rights. People, they shouldn't be discriminated against. So it's quite an interesting... Look, obviously at the Human Rights Film Festival, people who are going along to this festival, I mean, you're kind of preaching to the converted, yes. I would assume. But... The stylistically, it's a really, really beautifully done short. There's also a collection of Australian short films, and there is one of those in there which features a kind of lesbian storyline. It's called Vigilant, Healthy, Wholesome.
Exclamation marks in there, Kylie.
I know. I've got to put the exclamation marks on it. And it's kind of set... I feel like it's set in an alternative reality where we're still back in the 50s where those, you know, like their government health warning films about the homosexuality is contagious and can be passed on to you by just a handshake.
It has a great start like that, doesn't it?
It has a fantastic start. The start is kind of a pseudo government warning black and white film about the dangers of homosexuality and it's in your community. Don't eat phallic looking food or you could be contaminated. So it's really clever. The setup's really fantastic. And then it goes into this story about a woman who somehow has got a wedding dress that it's kind of like a poltergeist in her wedding dress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is a bit like possessed.
It's a possessed wedding dress because she doesn't want to marry a man, and she's kissing her bridesmaid, and her groom sees her and he gets really cross, and the wedding dress eats him up.
Yeah, swallows him whole.
It sounds weird, and it kind of is.
It's great. It's a Melbourne. The director,
filmmaker.
Filmmaker was VCA.
Yeah, it's a VCA film.
So it's a really great little film. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I think it's fantastic. It's been around a few times.
Yes,
a few festivals. So.
Yeah, it's was made in 2009, so it's kind of been doing the rounds. It is very clever in its setup, and it is quite quirky and interesting. So that's part of the Australian Shorts collection. And as per usual, they have fantastic documentaries, they have great Q&As.
Wonderful thing about this, about the festival, is that they have lots of different, you know, aspects to it, talks and workshops and the arts angle. So the one film that I'm looking forward to the most, I'm actually going to be zipping off to it this afternoon, is 12th in Delaware. It's a film from Jesus Camp directors Heidi Ewing and Rachel Grady about abortion activists. I'm looking forward to it. Apparently, it's a pretty fantastic film. So, but there's plenty of good stuff.
So we'll put the link to the festival up on our Facebook page. It's on until the end of the week, the 22nd. So certainly check those films out.
And we've got a double pass to give away.
Oh, we do.
It's so exciting. Robert Pattinson, what would you? It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Pats. What would you give Robert Pattinson if, you know... If you could just reach out and speak to...
We don't have that kind of those kind of contacts. No, we can't personally give him the gift. He's turning 25. So let us know what you would like to give him. And you can go in the draw to win a double pass to the Spanish Film Festival. Just SMS us on 0427JOY949 or send us an email on air@joy.org.au.
This is The Suburbs by Arcade Fire. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
Architecture in Helsinki, one of my favourites with Escapade. And actually, they will be on next week's, not this week's, next week's Bandcamp with Adam Todd. So that's incredibly exciting.
Oh, that is
just
really exciting.
Just another reason to listen to Adam.
And you're not going to be here, though.
You won't be able to.
Oh.
You know what? Podcasts. Seriously, Kylie.
I love the podcast.
21st century. You tell me all about social media, I'm on board. Almost. To some point. That's the end of the show. Good Lord. It went incredibly quickly.
Doesn't it always?
It always does. It always does. It always does. Thank you so much to Alan, who's back.
Pushing buttons.
Thanks so much to Mason, who was in the studio. He is doing the Taste of Radio program. So hopefully we'll be hearing Mason's voice, you know,
over soon.
the radio waves soon.
Now, next week, even though you're not going to be here, I'll be here with the lovely and delightful Leanie.
Yay.
Will be joining me. We'll be two chicks in the studio talking films. We'll be doing Snowtown and a film that is yet to be decided. Just leave you in anticipation. I've got a few options up my sleeve.
You will have to just wait and see. So please stay in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter, or our blog. All the links can be found at joy.org.au/pinkpopcorn. And as you said, Adam Todd with Bandcamp is up next. This week's guests include Red Ink and Ben Wells. So until next week, see you at the movies. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.